The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest is a Sunday Times bestselling author of 6 popular novels. She is returning with a new twist on the murder mystery genre. Wrong Place, Wrong Time tells the story of a mother who witnesses her son commit a murder. But then, Gillian joins me now. Gillian McAllister, good morning and welcome.
Hi, good morning to you.
Now, this is an extraordinary book. You know, I read the first chapter and, oh my God, and, you know, identifying with the parents in the situation where they've seen their son take a life, and you're thinking, if only they could go back to earlier that day or that morning, start it differently and everything would have been different. And then I go to chapter 2. Tell me more.
Well, yes, that is exactly what the protagonist says. She says she cries for yesterday and what she didn't see coming. And then when she wakes up, it is exactly that. It's yesterday. And the next time she wakes up, it's the day before that. And her task is traveling backwards to stop the crime from happening.
And she keeps going back. I mean, this is not just a week. You know, she goes way, way back. The murder kind of getting lost. But I suppose the moral of the story is that every little thing contributes to a scenario that ultimately brings about an event.
Yeah, I sort of wanted to write about the butterfly effect, really. And originally, I was going to go back just a few weeks, and it was going to be that her son got involved with a bad crowd. And then I thought it's so much more interesting to go back through his childhood and to sort of pinpoint the inception of a crime way, way, way before it happens.
Now, where did the idea for this come from? Because it is the first time I've really read a novel backwards.
Yeah, I think I had watched Russian Doll on Netflix fairly recently, and I was musing on the fact that I don't think I've ever seen that kind of Groundhog Day structure employed in a crime novel, specifically about stopping a crime. And then it really just came to me. I just suddenly thought, well, you would go backwards. Like, you know, all detectives do look into the past when trying to deconstruct a murder. And that's what my protagonist really does, but she sort of does it in quite a literal way.
Yeah, she literally moves back day by day. And the question I kept asking myself is, you know, is that day inevitable? Or, you know, is everything that she might change about the day going to influence the day that she's just been in?
Yeah, I know. It kind of gets a bit mind twisty, doesn't it?
It does.
And does the fact that she knows he's killed somebody, could she actually make it worse, you know, by planting the seed even earlier?
I mean, there are parallels, but only vague parallels with the movie series Back to the Future, where the young protagonist finds himself in a situation where he might be fancied by his own mother.
Yeah, I think everybody does have a desire. I think it's quite an innate human thing to want to revisit the past, particularly childhood, and to sort of re-witness it as an adult, I think is quite a sort of powerful longing.
Now, the writing of the book, is this a pandemic book?
Yes, written across the very long January lockdown.
Now, you have set it in a place to which you've now paid a visit, but where you had never been. Explain.
Yes, that's right. I was very taken with the Anthony Gormley exhibit, Another Place, in Crosby, just outside of Liverpool, because there are multiple bronze statues all alone and all sort of looking out to sea. And I just had this scene in mind where my protagonist visits it, and it's sort of an emblem of the strange deconstructed world she finds herself in. She thinks about the other gems who might have moved forward in time or even further back. And I found that metaphor so powerful that I had to set the book there. And yes, I couldn't travel there because of the lockdown. So I sort of hot-footed it up there. As soon as things opened up a little bit in April 2021, I went to visit the beach myself.
So you visited the locations that you'd already incorporated into the book?
Yeah, so I was on about a second or third draft. I have to say, I found Google Street View very helpful. You can basically walk around a town. You know, you can even go in some buildings on it now, but there is no substitute for actually going in, which I did get to do then. So yes, I sort of had to go and edit those bits that I'd got a bit wrong.
That's the point. I mean, how much did you get wrong?
Yeah, a fair bit. I think it's quite hard to piece together things sometimes on Google Maps, and you never really get the flavour of, you know, how the sea smells, and, you know, you see locals doing things and you hear the, you know, I think even Liverpudlians have it, even when they laugh, it's very musical and you can hear that. And that colour, I think, really added to the book. So it was mostly just sort of firming a few things up and sort of adding that flavour.
And you've said that you've named the streets where, you know, your heroine can has walked along, so that people actually will probably go to Crosby and do the book tour.
Yes, there is a rumour of a guided Crosby tour, which, yeah, I just think the more real you can make things, it's element, I think, the better. And I think it's so magical to know, you know, Jen walks down a street called Esher Road North, and to think that you could go and do that and see what she sees, I just think is very cool.
Now, the heart of this is obviously the mother and son relationship, where, you know, she would do anything to save her son. And you felt that you were exploring your own inner feelings as well as you write about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the parent-child relationship is so good for stakes, because, as you say, they will do absolutely anything. But yeah, I felt like I did sort of embody Jen, and I felt a little bit like I had my own teenage son for the duration of the book. I'm not a parent, so I can only hope I did it accurately.
Now, the book itself, it's out now, and it's one of a rapid series of books from you. You started your professional life, though, as a solicitor. Is that so?
Yes. I was a practicing lawyer until 2018, when I finally, I said I would have two bestsellers before I left, but actually it took three for me to actually throw in the towel and sort of embrace the full-time writer life.
And were you in criminal law as a solicitor, or everything and anything?
No, I had a very boring job. I did. I was a commercial property lawyer. I worked for investment funds. So sadly, all the crimes in my books are made up by me. They're not. Sadly, I didn't have an interesting enough job to inspire them.
You know, the way parents will always encourage a child to have something to fall back on. And I'm sure your family wanted you to have a nice, steady job, and then you become a writer. That writing ambition had always been there.
Yes, yeah. I think I wrote my first novel when I was 12. And I, you know, even at times of my life where I wasn't writing a novel, like at university, I had a blog. I've always written a lot of journals. Like I've just always been a writer through and through. And I think law really was that safe job, because I didn't feel I could graduate at 21 and, you know, write a novel. You know, I was comprehensively educated. I didn't come from any money, so I just didn't know how to get in. So I did it alongside law, which I think it was hard at times, but I think it was the most sensible way to do it in a way.
Yeah. Anyway, trying to write about life experiences before life experiences have been experienced is quite a difficult thing to do. But anyway, you're now a full-time writer. How did you get the break into publishing? I mean, was it, you know, 25 rejections before the first positive?
It was. I always say I've had more rejections than anybody. I went in the traditional way. I didn't know anyone. I queried via what they call the slush pile, which is unsolicited manuscripts. So my first novel didn't get me any agents. It got me at least, I don't know, 15 rejections, but a couple of them were quite nice, and they sort of said, we think you can write, we'd like to see what you do next. And then I did write another novel, and then that got me an agent, but it didn't get me a publisher. So then I write a third novel, which became my debut. So yes, it was quite a several years long journey.
And did the other manuscripts, do they survive in the bottom drawer of your desk? Will they emerge?
They will not emerge. I think they were quite rightly rejected.
Well, the rave reviews you've got from people like Ian Rankin, this is bravura novel writing. Lisa Jewell, one of the best books I've ever read. The plot is astonishing, Marion Keyes. Brilliantly genre-bending, says Ruth Ware. Wow, can't imagine it not being my book of the year, from Sophie Hanna. The unstoppable McAllister is at the top of her game, from Erin Kelly, and so much more. Wrong Place, Wrong Time is the title of the book. It's written by Gillian McAllister, out already, I think, in the shops from the weekend. Published by Penguin, Michael Joseph, at $14.99. And Gillian, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.